Just settling into a comfortable posture. And closing your eyes or just lowering your gaze. And spend some time just really letting your attention become absorbed into your body. Just feeling your body, feeling yourself as a body, or that there is a body. And imagine that any tension or stress or really any emotions, anything that agitates the mind or disturbs you, that all of that is draining down, down, down through the body into the earth. And that all that's left behind is stillness, space. Calm. Releasing. Softening. And the attention then gathering around the breath. That sense of releasing, of draining out stress can continue in the background. Can actually work with the breath. When you exhale, letting that be the release. Can start to connect with a deep sense of surrender. Sensing that it is safe to let go on this deep level. That all the ways you try to control your experience, control even your perception, your own mind, that all of that can be let go. And we start to be aware of the deep and subtle ways that we hold on. And we keep releasing, letting go. You might feel the intrusion of thoughts or old patterns of stress or fear. And let them go, even as they arise. As we connect with and sense the stillness that's always within us. Start to see that such thoughts and feelings can't actually penetrate that stillness. It just requires that we become absorbed in that stillness. The breath is our companion in that quiet space. And continue to let go moment by moment. So I want to talk a little bit about what I just did there, which you may have noticed was different from my ordinary guided meditation. Typically, the instruction I give is not designed to evoke a particular mind state or a particular experience, but rather to give you the tools for working with whatever is arising for you, and kind of, help to train you in mindfulness, basically, to be mindful of thoughts and feelings, to be mindful of the body, which I think is the it's a safe thing to teach, because you're not sort of necessarily trying to create something. It's also a tool that you can take and use. What I was pointing to this morning, though, was trying to actually help you to go into a particular mind state, a kind of concentrated mind state. As I often do, I kind of am sharing something that I'm working with myself. And so the immediate goal of this is as longer term goals, but the immediate goal of it really is to change your mind state. And so, because I've been struggling with my own mood lately, I've been doing more of this concentration focused practice, because concentration has a kind of cleansing or healing effect on the mood. It kind of resets the mind, because it kind of clears out all the things that are disturbing you, and then kind of there's in that kind of emptiness, it's like a kind of reset. And so that at the end of a sit in which you're concentrated, the mood tends to be at least neutralized, if not improved. And I could have added and might have added the smile, doing a smile, slight smile as you're doing that practice, because that has both the effect of helping to concentrate, but especially of really tending to turn the mood. I don't often do this, partly because I'm not sure it works. That as a prompt, I'm not sure that that just my saying these words necessarily is going to take you there. That typically, if your mind hasn't been trained enough to go to these mind states, that might not be able to find them that easily. But if you've done a lot of practice, you might find that it does go there. But as I say, I'm a little hesitant to do that, to give that kind of instruction, because I feel like some people are going to be kind of left behind and kind of feel like, oh, I missed it, or that didn't work, or whatever, and kind of then just feel, like they failed in their meditation, like, oh, he was telling us to have this experience and it didn't happen for me. What's wrong with me? And essentially, my understanding is that these like neural pathways that allow us to get into these states become reinforced through a lot of practice, and it just comes through practice. So it's not a matter of being good or bad at it. It's just a matter of whether you've done enough meditation that your mind will go to those places. So I kind of, if I don't know that, I'll just see if there's any thoughts or comments anyone has about that, since I've kind of introduced a whole thing that might evoke questions. So either that made perfect sense. Oh, Debbie, I was going to say either that made perfect sense or nobody knows what I'm talking about, so they don't know what the heck to ask. Yes, Debbie, please.
Yeah, I would like to share that It was very deep for me. It was very.
And you're a very experienced meditator. Oh, you know, so just for the group to know that, right? So
I appreciate that. I love it. And I understand exactly what you're saying, but I had a thought of, you know, maybe once a month, or maybe, you know, kind of offer it as a growth edge for everyone. That's all I wanted to share.
That's a good idea. And, you know, if I were that organized, I could do it. So you just have to remind me, Debbie. That's a good idea. I've been thinking about maybe starting to offer some day-longs with particular meditation themes, like a day-long on concentration, a day-long on metta, a day-long on just insight. So if I can get that going, I will let people know. Deborah Joan, hello. I saw
Hi.
You. Yes.
I really appreciated the meditation. It did intuitively, organically force me to concentrate. I have a sleeping dog by my feet snoring, and I often use that as, you know, just sync my breathing to his breathing.
Yeah.
But I knew I was there when I felt the half smile on my face. Mm-hmm. So thank you for the reset. I really appreciate it.
I saw you nodding whilst I was speaking. I could tell you had picked up on it nicely. Great. Thanks, Deborah. Brian.
Hi, Kevin. I want to agree. I really enjoyed it too. I found for me, like last week, I actually attended a week-long retreat that kind of really, it really rejuvenated my meditation. And this is one technique that I was using along with what you were doing, and it mm-hmm. and it really brought me to some calm stillness, and I really appreciate it. Thanks.
Lovely. Thanks, Brian. Abigail, did you have your hand up?
Yes, I did. I'm afraid that when you said what you had done, my immediate thought was, oh, I missed it.
Well, it's been recorded. You can go back and listen to it later.
That's all I have to say.
Oh, no, you know, I personally, anytime a teacher gives a guided meditation, I completely space out. I just can't like focus on them. So I'm always impressed that people actually listen to what I'm saying. Myrna, are you applauding or
no? Well, I don't know. Is that the wrong one? Yes, I'm just putting up hands. I don't know. I experience a lot of depth in this meditation as well. And of course, for me, when I just appreciate a group, a sangha, meditating, there's something, I don't know what it is, the connection. I experience much deeper connection for me. And I enjoy the different meditations. I mean, I love that. I thought it was beautiful. Very, very, I was able to really sink into it.
Love yeah, it. I think sometimes we just need to be reminded of like, oh, I can do this, you know. Mm. That's sort of what it is for me when I'm like, oh, you know, I could, instead of like sitting here and, you know, doing whatever I'm doing, which is usually spacing out in one way or another, I can actually just try to calm myself down. yeah. Thanks. Jim, did you have your hand up? I thought I saw it up before.
I think I was applauding.
Oh, you were applauding. Okay.
But I will say, I have to admit, I love your guided meditations, but I've been doing another practice recently. So I usually turn the sound off.
Uh-huh. Good.
So if you're going to like do a really good meditation, could you let us know in advance?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, sure. On? I will. This is going to be a waste of time today. You can just mute me, you know, don't bother. As you probably know, after hanging out with me all this time, I don't plan a lot around the meditation instruction. It just kind of comes out the way it comes out. I had no idea that was going to happen today. So there you go. Well, thank you all. I think it's funny that we can like feel like we're having a group meditation when we're just, you know, it's kind of like being on Insight Timer and knowing that like 60,000 people are meditating right now. Okay, good. That helps me. But it is, there is something, I suppose. Well, I will move to the topic of the day, which we actually at the beginning of step 10. And I was thinking about this, and I kind of want to talk about I was thinking about sort of step 10 as being kind of the beginning of the, you know, the closing of the steps that, and, you know, in one breath at a time, I have the steps divided into three sections. The first three steps, I think I call surrender. I could look at the table of contents. Yes, surrender. And then the middle from 4 to 9, I call investigation and responsibility, which I think is, there could be more to it, but and then the third section, fulfillment. And so, you know, step 10 reiterates steps 4 through 9. Continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Or it at least reiterates 4, 5, and 9. But essentially, it reiterates those middle steps. So we see that in some sense, the initial work of the steps is completed at the end of step 9, you know, and that now we are, you know, we often call these the maintenance steps as well. These last three steps, we're moving into the steps that will be the ongoing work. And, you know, step 11 is the prayer and meditation. Step 12 is, you know, refers to the spiritual awakening, but is often sort of the thing that's really emphasized in the 12-step world is the carrying the message. Although I think practicing the principles in all our affairs is equally important. But I want to talk a little bit about what it means to have sort of completed the initial work of the steps. That, and just to state the obvious, but I think also what we all need to be reminded, which is that once you've completed step 9, or at least, you know, done work with step 9, that that you have to keep doing all those 9 steps. You know, that step 1, you know, is one we have to keep returning to, that we have to keep, whether we call it powerlessness or just recognizing that we have an addiction or that we have a problem or that we are prone to addictive behavior, that we have to keep going over that. And that certainly the faith of step 2 and the turning it over and acceptance of step 3 are things that are demanded of us over and over. And I would say that step 11 kind of is pointing to that when it says asking for God's will, you know, and the power to carry that out certainly is kind of referring back to step 3. And then of course the inventory process, which again, as I said, is covered in step 10. And the work of 6 and 7, the letting go work that certainly never seems to end. I'm not speaking to an innocent group here that doesn't know this, but I feel like I sort of, it's my responsibility here as leader to remind us all that getting to this stage of the steps does not mean that we're done with those first 9 steps by any means. And as I'm speaking, I recall, as I often tend to forget, that I said that I was going to go through the promises when I got to the end of step 9. So I'm going to have to not go into step 10. I'm going to have to start going through the promises, which means I'm going to have to refer to my newer book, which goes through the promises. I never went through the promises in One Breath at a Time, but I think I have enough time to start a promise. Let's see. Start somewhere. Painstaking. So the promises, if you're not familiar with them, they're found in the AA Big Book at the end of step 9, at the end of describing step 9. And they begin by saying, if we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we're halfway through. So as long as I have some time, I'll read a little bit from this. So this is from September 8th, which I know it's not September 8th, but you know, this book was not, it doesn't have to be read, you know, chronologically. And the book I'm referring to is, of course, my book, Buddhism and the 12 Steps Daily Reflections, my newest production. Rarely has a spiritual text offered a more enticing introduction to a set of propositions. I found as I was writing this book that I sometimes started to adopt Bill Wilson's voice in my writing. Rarely has a spiritual text. Anyway, the idea that we'll be amazed by the results of our step work is very intriguing. Perhaps we should first focus on the earlier part of the sentence, the requirement that we be painstaking. The demands of the 12 steps can start to seem onerous as we pass from admitting powerlessness and turning it over to a higher power into the deeply challenging inventory and amends process. These are not tasks that anyone would take on voluntarily. In some ways, this is what sets 12-step work apart from ordinary spiritual practices, including those of Buddhism. Painstaking it is. And in truth, if this isn't undertaking painstakingly, not much will come of it. A half-hearted inventory isn't worth much. To hold back or be dishonest in that work makes it pointless. And to shy away from directly addressing those we've hurt means we've completely missed the point and lost out on the potential benefits of making amends. Many addicts have probably tried to get through life by cutting corners. With a goal of self-satisfaction, we might never have seen the point of doing a good job just for the sake of it. With the steps, we are learning that we can't risk that attitude anymore, that there are real-life implications to taking shortcuts. Here, it's either engage wholeheartedly or risk the consequences of relapse. And then at the end of each of these pages, I suggest something to reflect on for the day, such, and thus the name of the book, Daily Reflections. Today, Consider if your step work has been painstaking. This doesn't mean you have done them perfectly, but rather that you have done your best and stayed honest and consistent in the process. Okay. That's not bad. I haven't read from this book since I published it, so I'm always scared when I'm open up. What did I say? Oh, boy. I remember when I first started reading One Breath at a Time in public, because I went on like a book tour-y thing, and I was like, oh, this is terrible. Not terrible, but I kept running into these places where if you read the book in a certain way, like critically, which I hope you don't, where I kind of, as I do in all my, most of my teaching anyway, I kind of digress a lot and start talking about one thing. And by the end of the section, I'm talking about something else. So anyway, painstaking. It's not a bad topic, is it? So now I will let you chime in again. If anyone... Oh, I heard a voice.
Kevin, this is Dolores. I don't know if you could see me.
I can see a fuzzy image.
You know why I'm on the beach, but I didn't want to miss you.
Well, you know, you shouldn't be on the beach unless we can all be on the beach. It's really not fair. Oh,
that's not fair. Next time, come down.
Okay.
I can relate with everything that you're saying. I turned it on when you were talking about concentration. And I'm just learning through with Thich Nhat Hanh about the energies that Buddha told us about, and that mindfulness was the third one. And after that was the concentration and the insight, which is so important because it helps us to rest, really rest in our meditation before we begin the awareness of pain and suffering and begin to embrace it. So I did understand that about the concentration and how necessary it is.
Yeah.
But getting to what you're talking about with the ninth and the 10th step, I think that last time I spoke with you, I think it was Spirit Rock, you helped me get in touch with a denial that I was in. And I clarified it. I told you that I really understood what denial means. Don't even know it's a lie. Because I really believe that my comment is that I was going to meetings outside of this area because I needed to be I wanted to be anonymous. I didn't want people to say, oh, there's Dolores, that kind of thing. I really thought I was honest about that. However, when I listened to you, I thought there was another part. I did not want to tell the people in this area that I had gained 45 pounds, like Miss OA, you know? And that was the truth. And I did. I took care of that. And I think that was a 10th step. You know, I really, I just felt so free. But I want to mention about the promises. I think that I just went through a painstaking inventory because it was different this time. It was more cleansing this time. And what I'm experiencing is, I think I shared it the first time I spoke with you, that I have the same abstinence and sobriety with food today that I had with alcohol 41 years ago. And I didn't think it was possible, and other people said it may not be possible. But I truly, truly do not think about food and do not obsess or anything about it. It's different. It's so different that it feels like when I gave up the alcohol that I didn't, it's not that I wasn't drinking, I didn't want to. And it's the same thing with the food. It's not that I'm not overeating, it's that I don't want to. And I think it's the focus is on, yes, abstinence and sobriety, but equal to that is that I want to be a person who has integrity and honor and decency. And I don't want to lie. You know, I truly, truly don't want to. And I think that's why I'm experiencing this freedom from the food. So I'm finishing up my 9th step and about to start my 10th. So I really can relate with everything you're saying. So thank you.
Nice. That's lovely. Thank you, Dolores. And I was listening to a talk from Bhikkhu Bodhi yesterday, and he was talking about three types of abstaining. And it was, you know, referring to the precepts in Buddhism, abstaining from killing, from stealing, and from harming people through sexual misconduct. But of course, when I heard him say abstaining, I thought immediately of addiction and abstinence. And he said that there's three types, or that the Buddha said there were three types of abstinence. One is what he called sort of a natural abstinence, where we don't kill things just because we kind of sense that it's wrong, or maybe we've been brought up to believe it's wrong. And then so we could say, like, some people just don't have a problem with food or alcohol or drugs. It's like, you know, they don't really make a thing of it. It's just sort of their natural inclination. And then there's a second kind, which is a kind of commitment, which I think of as a vow, but is also more of what we do when we step into recovery, is that we make this, it's explicit, it's very intentional. It's not just something we're doing because it feels good, you know, it's very intentional. And then there's a third kind of abstinence, which in the Buddhist sort of cosmology arises when there's a kind of enlightenment, and that is that there's no longer any impulse to do the unskillful actions, that there is no, that you, well, for the enlightened one, they can't break the precepts. But I would say, like, for people in recovery, there are many of us who it's just like, there's just no interest anymore, which is what you're describing, Dolores, that yes. way in which it's been removed. I mean, I think it's very difficult. I know it's very difficult working with food. It's not my primary addiction. And
hardest one.
Yeah.
Me, it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And because it's something you can't abstain from food. It's having to change your relationship in a way, but it's interesting. It just struck me as interesting that, you know, that there was this Buddhist framework for abstinence that yes. kind of we could kind of look at and kind of compare to our own, you know, our own approach to recovery.
I tried to get the book that you suggested, and I got a response yesterday that they didn't have it, but I'm going to keep trying.
Which book was that?
Written, well, the gentleman that you just, I can't remember the name.
Oh, Bhikkhu Bodhi?
Yes, yeah. You mentioned his book on Spirit Rock.
Oh, yeah.
Talking about him.
That's right.
The Noble Eightfold Path. I'm very interested in him. I'm going to keep trying, but okay. I just got a response yesterday that they didn't have it.
Huh, okay.
Yeah, but I will.
All
Thank
right.
you.
Okay, Dolores, take care.
Thank you.
Don't forget to put on sunblock.
I got it on. Next time, anybody that wants to come down, you call me. I got a room in the bath for you.
Okay. Sounds Thank good. You. Thanks. Megan and Jared, what's up?
Hi. So I think it's really interesting that you picked September 8th, because that is the day that my dad passed away.
Oh, Scott, I'm sorry.
Interesting. But I was thinking about, I'm going through my fourth step right now, fourth and fifth, and it's been pretty painstaking, I guess. But I'm realizing, and it's been going on for a while, so I've 4 years sober this month, but this is my first time going through the steps. And as you know, I was raised, you know, my dad got sober when I was 5. And so
That's annoying.
AA in the background my yeah, really, whole really. Life. Going That's... to meetings very young. So it's always been a great support for me, actually. Even when I was using, I would just go and, I don't know, it was like a check-in, just kind of weird. But I'm finding that I have what feels like an addiction to painful things.
Like, to painful things?
Painful thing. Like I'm a therapist. I feel like I'm always in the trench. Yeah, you know? Right. So doing a fourth step feels, I don't know, I'm just so used to being in anger and just like deep emotion. And I feel like I want more lightness and freedom in my life from what feels so painful. So now, right now that I'm doing this fourth step, I feel I've spent so much time in the darkness that I'm like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do it again. Yeah. You know, if that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. I thank you, Megan. I think that's where the steps and the fact that this was like written by, you know, largely kind of based around one person's and one small group of men and their experience, can not always be the most effective and useful process, can actually be, as you're suggesting, a counterproductive process to the emotional needs of some people, particularly the focus on like the negative, if you're already like overly focused on the negative. I would look at Stephanie Covington's book, A Woman's Way. It's Stephanie Covington, I think, yeah. A Woman's Way Through the 12 Steps. Maybe also Quit Like a Woman, which I think is a really terrific book.
I think her name is Holly.
That's Holly Whitaker.
Yeah.
Quit Like a Woman. But it sounds, I mean, not to, you know, diagnose you from, you know, on Zoom in front of a crowd of people, but, you know, it sounds kind of like, If you're thinking in terms of the 12 steps, that, you know, it sounds like kind of coda issues or codependent issues, Al-Anon issues. I mean, I know that, you know, that fella beside you has had some issues, and maybe you've been trying to fix him. I don't know. You guys always show up together. So, I mean, again, like, you know, it's not really for me to tell you how to work your program or what your, you know, but it seems like that's, you know, the area that I would be looking at, right? Because I understand, I think I understand when you say that you're kind of drawn towards painful feelings. I mean, that's, you know, I have a certain orientation for that, which is more internal. It's not external so much, like connecting with other people's suffering. It's more that I, you know, get obsessed with my own suffering and make that into my story. I think that that you should trust your response, that maybe writing down all this stuff isn't what needs to happen. Maybe you need more focus on the positive things, like, you know, James Barris's book, Awakening Joy, you know, can be really helpful to just like shift, like, what am I looking for in my life? Like, am I constantly trying to solve problems or figure out what's wrong? Or, you know, okay, that's one part of life, but there's also like, oh, looking for things that bring joy, bring like purpose and meaning and, you know, into my life. Like, can I focus on that instead of focusing on like what's wrong with me that needs to be fixed? I mean, that's also, you know, just to keep referring to books, you know, my book, Recovering Joy, is meant to be about that. That's what it's called, right? Recovering Joy. Yeah. You know, it's kind of meant to be like, oh, right. Like, yeah, I've done all this inventory. Now I feel like crap about myself. Like, how can I feel good about myself? How can I enjoy my life? Mm-hmm. Yeah, persistent challenge. So Sherry's got her hand up. Let me turn it over to her for a final comment, question. Hi.
I'm also one of those people that I will go to the negative if, you know, well, I don't so much anymore, but I used to. And when I first did a four-step, I was in treatment and the counselor kind of figured that out about me right away and told me that I had 5 days and that's all he'd give me to do my four-step. And so I went to work and I dived deep into that depression of, oh my God, look how bad I am and all that. And, but that's all the time he'd give me. And I use that today. I find that all this, the step work is hard.
Yeah.
And when I have to go deep inside me and figure out who I am and find some things that maybe I don't really like, I give myself a certain bit of time to go into the work and do it really hard and really well, but I can't dwell there. I can't go down that well and stay there because I'll just dwell in it for way too long. And I've learned that about me. I'll pass.
Really smart, Sherry. Thank you. That is some wisdom there to end on. I really appreciate it. Like, yeah, take on this tough stuff and do it and complete it. Don't let it like drag on. Yeah, thank you. That's great. I noticed I did not mention it, but I think Angela, thank you, put in the information that I am teaching tonight for Napa Insight. So if you're interested, that's 7 o'clock Pacific time. And there's a link in the chat. Because I know people have had trouble logging on there before. So I'm not sure if I think there might be necessary to like register beforehand. So I'm going to give a talk. I've been going through the Noble Eightfold Path with that group. And tonight I'm on right action, which traditionally means talking about the precepts. We'll see what it's about tonight when I talk about it. I've been working on that talk for like a week, and it's getting worse the more I work on it. So we'll have to see if it gets anywhere. So I try not to work on things too much. Oh, somebody else has their hand up. I can't turn you away, Jasmine. Say hello.
Hi, Kevin. Hi. I've been doing your meditations every morning at the moment. Thank you for that. Using the Zoom. Just linking with what people were saying about the step four and the focus on defects, the character. My sponsor really got me to focus on aspects of character. So the good parts as well as the bad parts, because I needed to balance that. You know, like the lady was saying before, I was kind of addicted to pain as well. And I thought, you know, it's like a lot of the time it's like we've got these defects of character and we're always blaming other people. I didn't blame other people. I was always blaming myself for everything. I was, you know. So to be able to balance the defects of character with the positive aspects. And when I say the step seven prayer, I say about aspects of character, all of them good and bad, you know. So I totally get that. And I'm really interested in those books. So thank you for everybody that's recommended those. Thanks, Kevin.
All right, great. Thank you, Jasmine. Sweet. Really good. More good wisdom, you know. I really appreciate that. I think you're exactly right. Aspect of character is a nice way of putting it. All right, my dears. It is after the time that officially I close, and so Friday night, now that I remember, I will continue with the promises, and we'll see what's next. So thank you. This was really a nice morning, nice time with you guys today. So thanks for showing up and being part of this.